Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing. Another checkered flag for the books. Time to celebrate with Chumba. Jump in at ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. CTNCs 21 plus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
Final hour on this Wednesday afternoon. Hope everybody's having or has had a good day to this point. Darren, Donnie, and Chase here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Our weekly chat with Chris Mason, who now joins us. C-Mace, what's up?
How you doing, guys?
Great. How are you?
Good. Just heading out to the front step here to chat with you guys and get out of the chaos a little bit. Actually, it's not too bad today. It's a good day, so that was a little bit of an exaggeration. But looking forward to talking to you guys, as always.
Did you see where Jake Allen was shipped to Montreal from the Blues?
I did. I just saw that. It's a great move, I think, for Montreal. The Blues, you know, they have their guy in Binnington. I don't know, necessarily if the playoffs are any indication of, you know, what's to come with him. I think Binnington had kind of an up and down year this year, and I thought Jake Allen was really good, actually, throughout the whole season, and he was the better goalie in their playoffs when the season or the playoff resumes. So, I guess it's just a case of just getting a change of scenery, and then, you know, maybe they'll bring in a young prospect or promote somebody within the organization. But good move for Montreal to get a guy like that, maybe take a little load off of Carey Price, and, you know, barring any injury, you got a good, dependable guy that can play some good stretches of hockey for you. So I think that's a good move for Montreal.
What do you make of the Islanders Flyers series? How do you think, one, what do you think of what you've seen to this point through five games in that series?
Well, it's crazy. It's, you know, it's like it's like anything. I think there's the good and bad of both teams. I think with the Islanders, I think you see exactly what they're trying to do in terms of the style of play that they play. And, you know, Philadelphia is a team that I don't know if you'd call anyone a favorite or an underdog in that kind of series. But you got to like how the Islanders have played to this point. But, I mean, Philly's just as capable of a team.
What do you make of when you see Hart, you see Carter Hart, what do you see from him? Obviously, a young guy who burst onto the scene. He's still extremely young. But he's he's in a big spot for Philadelphia. A lot's on his shoulders as a young man early on in his career. But when you watch him through your goalie eyes, what do you see?
Well, he is, I mean, beyond his years in immaturity. It's unbelievable. There's very few guys, especially at that age for a goaltender. We just talk about Carey Price. He's maybe one of the only ones that I can think of that is at that level of the mental strength to be able to play at that level in the National Hockey League as a young goaltender, and to be able to, it's not too big for him. It's not too big for those guys. There's hardly anyone that could do that. And this is, they're put in a situation where it could literally crush them. It could crush a player to be in that situation as young as they are, at the goaltender position, and it could just derail their career. Or you could be like Carter Hart or Carey Price that, you know, relishes it, that's, you know, able to process the emotions and the conjure the mental strength. And I know Carter Hart works with a sports psychologist, and I know he's in tune with that side of the game and really spent a lot of time in his younger years working on the mental part, as well as obviously he's, you know, one of the most skilled young goaltenders in the league. He looks much like Carey Price, and the fact that he knocked off his idol in their series was pretty cool and incredible. But he's the new version of that. So I just think that, you know, he's another thing too, as you often see from young goaltenders, is once they have a bad game or they get lit up or whatever the situation, especially in playoffs, you know, the next one's not good, or they go into a slump, or it's just, you know, it goes off the rails. And that's why you need the older veteran guy to usually carry the mail. But he's a special goalie, and he's able to bounce back. And you just look at the kid. First of all, the talent level of his skills, but the mental strength that he possesses is really what makes him special.
Can you talk about, like, how a system affects goaltending play? Like, for example, you know, Varlamov, when he was in Colorado all those years, it was more about the play up front, the skilled players. They're about, you know, scoring a lot of goals. They've become a lot more defensive-minded with some of the defensemen they've acquired in trades and drafted. But obviously much more responsible on the defensive end in New York under Barry Trotz's system. Just talk about how different systems affect goaltending play.
Well, it's obviously the more defensive that you play as a team. If you look at Minnesota over the years, or you know, especially Barry's, the Islanders are, I think, are maybe his best work in terms of getting his team to buy in. Obviously, and when he was in Washington, he was able to do that, but they had a lot of offensive weapons, so he had to give them a little more freedom. And the Islanders, they're playing exactly the way that you have to play for that team to win. For that team to win a Stanley Cup, that's how they have to play. And Barry Trotz is the perfect guy. And for a goaltender, it just makes your job so much easier because the game becomes more predictable. You see the patterns develop because it's the same things that happen over and over again, over and over again. There's not the breakdowns, the unpredictability that you would have in a more freewheeling type of system. You know, I think the Preds, you know, under Peter Laviolette, were very successful playing man-on-man. And then I think it kind of ran its course because that's a system where I think there's a lot of unpredictability because, you know, there's certain breakdowns and it could be a different guy on any given shift breaking down. So that situation is going to be new and it's going to be different the next game. And I think when you play that structured defense like the Islanders do, the game just becomes a bunch of continuous patterns and you're able to read it and you can see plays develop because your guys are predictable. When you play defense, and I also believe that you obviously have to have a level of offense because, you know, the Islanders have actually done a good job. They've scored a lot of goals in this, you know, playoffs, and if you want to average out their whole playoff this year, but they're predictable defensively, and it gives them a chance to beat anybody. I just think if you play that style and you commit to it, you always have a chance to win. You obviously have to put some pucks in the net, and they have some guys that can do that, but I just believe for a goaltender, it just makes the job just so much easier because it becomes more predictable.
A couple of quick notes. Matt Barzal, critical player, because he's the guy that has that creativity that can make it happen offensively for a defensive-minded team, and he's a guy that Barry Trotz has been given a lot of credit for to be able to play the defensive game to match his great offensive talent. Interesting story. This is, Mace, this is what happens in hockey, right? You don't give out any information on injuries, but because of the bubble situation, here's what happened. Barzal got hit in the eye in the game last night, inadvertent high stick by Claude Giroux. Missed the rest of the game. So he's on the elevator going back to his room, and who gets on the elevator but Alain Vigneault, the coach of the other team. And so they you know, they were right there. So they talked to each other, and Alain Vigneault shares today that, hey, I saw Matt Barzal. I'm glad to see he's going to be all right, and there's no concern. Barry Trotz was trying to do the coach thing and be very careful on how he chose his words on his availability for the next game. He's trending in the right direction. So apparently Alain Vigneault, the visiting or the other coach, shared more injury information than his coach.
Well, that's kind of funny. I think we're kind of getting used to the uncertainty and all these little quirky, different kind of things coming out of the way that they've handled the injuries. And that's one of them. I never even thought of that, to be honest with you. I forget that these guys, they're all staying in the hotel. And, you know, that's a possibility that they would cross paths because I'm assuming they'd be on similar schedules where there's only a certain amount of places that you can go. So, it's kind of interesting, and it's funny how you know, how some of these storylines, things like that, and there's been some other kind of funny kind of incidents that come out of it. But yeah, he's a player that, you know, we talked about Barry Trotz, and if they want to close it out, you know, that's the guy you need on. You wait for your opportunities. You play defense. You go back on transition. You wait for the opportunity, and they have those guys that can score that big goal. And obviously, Barzal is one of the, you know, their most gifted, talented players on that team offensively. So he's a guy that, you know, hopefully Vigneault's right and he is okay. And Trotz is just playing gamesmanship. But they're going to need, they definitely need that type of player. Those are the guys that have been making, you know, the big differences and allowing them to play the style they
play because they do get the goals when they get their opportunities.
What does it say about the Lightning that they could beat a team like the Bruins without Steven Stamkos the entire series, and they lose Nikita Kucherov in the first minutes of the second? Well, I can't remember exactly when he went down in the last game, but they still find a way to beat the Bruins. They've got to feel very confident right now. I don't know when Stamkos could be back, might be back. I don't know if he is coming back, but, man, that is a deep, deep talented team.
Well, they are, and you knew they were. I mean, you look at last year, and obviously they got bounced in the first round, but they had probably one of the most dominating regular seasons, you know, in the history of the NHL. The last 2 months there, basically, they, you know, had the President's Trophy pretty much wrapped up. And then they lose to Columbus, and obviously that can happen. The league's, we all know, we talk about it all the time, how good the league is. And, you know, at the end of the season, you're not playing games. But you can't really do that. Now you see, this is a team that they might have got off to a little bit of a slow start in the first part of the playoffs or their play-in games that didn't really mean much. But once they get going, this is a deep team. This is, you know, you look back a couple of years when you're saying, who's the two of the deepest teams? Well, you went out east, and it's Boston, Tampa, and then you came out, and it was Nashville. It was one of the teams that was just a deep team in terms of, if you look at all three defense pair, if you look at all four lines, and now for them to be able to play at the level that they're playing, you know, Braden Point, the guy's just a maniac. He's just a stud. And those are guys, we obviously talk to Yanni Gord, all these guys, but you talk about Stamkos and Kucherov and the way that they're able to play without them. And they got one of the best goaltenders in the league. And then you got Hedman, and you got a buddy of mine actually who's playing unbelievable hockey. He's got a second chance at his career, really, is Zach Bogosian, making a huge difference in these series. And you go up and down that lineup, and it's a nasty group of guys. So they can endure it. And you play a little different. When you lose your stars like that, you tend to lock it down a little more, and Vasilevsky's been awesome, but they just keep coming at you. They're fast. I mean, we've seen the waves that they're able to put on, and Nashville's actually played pretty good against them, but you know, you watch them against other teams and what they did to Boston. That's scary. If the Islanders end up winning, that's going to be a very interesting matchup to see that two styles contrast.
Oh, boy. I can't wait. I'm hoping that happens. Mesa, let's go out west. Dallas has a decision to make. Rick Bowness, the coach of the Dallas Stars, would not reveal who his starting goalie would be tonight. For people that maybe haven't paid close attention, they've got a 3-2 lead against all the firepower of the Avalanche. Ben Bishop in a back-to-back. He hadn't played in a good while. He'd been hurt. They put him in, and he got lit up. He gave up 5 in the first. They took him out. Anton Hudobin has played better and played more during the playoffs. So who would you go with tonight, even, you know, knowing that Ben Bishop is really your starter, but he hasn't played a whole lot and Hudobin has played well? I'd have to go to Hudobin, but you tell me what you would do.
I'm going Hudobin 100%. It's not a tough decision at all. I thought, you know, it wasn't all Bishop's fault last game or whatever, but you can just tell he just doesn't look comfortable, doesn't look. You know, Hudobin, if you want to go too against these two guys, he had an unbelievable regular season. And he played, it wasn't like he was a typical backup. I think he played 35, almost 40 games. So he almost played half the season, if I remember correctly. So it's not like he's a guy that you really don't know about or you have question marks about. He's had some really unbelievable moments in these playoffs already. So for me, I know Bishop, let's say if all things being equal and both guys are healthy at the top peak of their game, that you're maybe going to choose Bishop just because of just that's the way it is. But for in this situation, 100%, you got to go Hudobin. If I'm the coach, I'm going Hudobin. I said the same thing about the St. Louis series. They went back to Binnington for the final deciding game. If they lose, they're finished. And they went with Binnington, and I think they should have went with Allen just because the eye test told me that, yeah, Allen lost the game before, but he was playing good. He was on a roll. You could just tell he was feeling it. Binnington, to me, didn't look sharp. He looked like he was second-guessing himself. He just, you know, he just had all those kind of energy surrounding him, and that's the way I feel about this decision too. I think that's how Bishop looks to me, and I think Hudobin looks good, and he looks like he's, you know, he's got his game in order. So that's my choice, 100%.
Chris Mason is with us, Predators analyst. And Chris, I have made two I guess, bold predictions when it comes to the Colorado Avalanche. The first being, I dubbed them the 2020 Stanley Cup champions long ago, and I stand by that. And then I guaranteed earlier that they would win in force game seven.
You went Mark Messier on us.
I did. The guarantee, there is a pending bet between Darren and yours truly, so we'll see how that goes.
But tell them what's at stake, because Mace can appreciate good creative facial hair.
Oh, actually, yeah, he will appreciate this. So if I lose, I have to shave the beard into the handlebar mustache.
Wow, I love that. That is amazing. That's I think it's possible. I mean, the way that, you know, if they come out, and especially the way they started the game last game against Dallas, and basically, you know, said we're not going away quietly, and they made a big statement there. So now, you know, you talk about, let's say there's a goalie controversy in Dallas, and I guess they closed the gap a little bit as that game went on, but it was garbage time, as, you know, we'd say in football. There wasn't much left, you know, in that game. So I would love to see the handlebar mustache if they lose. I just don't know. Is Hutchinson the guy? Like, I know they did a good job protecting him.
See, that's another question. That is a good question, too. Do you automatically go Francouz or do you go Hutchinson?
I know. Yeah, is it Francouz? I can't remember.
Told us Francouz, but they've been saying Francouz. I don't.
Yeah.
Who knows? Maybe we should call Dr. Seuss.
I like him. Yeah. Either way, we know who we're talking.
Turn
about.
Your mic off, Willie.
I don't know what we're gonna do there. Like, that's a tough one, because I thought Hutchinson was okay. I didn't think, you know, I thought Colorado did a good job in front of him, as they would expect when you have a goaltending situation like that, and you're, you know, basically fighting to get back in the series, or you're going home. So that's another, to me, that's the big controversy. If you want to say who you're going to choose, Hutchinson won, but Francouz or Francouz is a better goalie, in my opinion. And obviously he's their guy, but is he back? Is he ready to go? I don't know.
Obviously I watched last night, like all of us, Vegas and Vancouver. I think Vegas still wins the series. They're the better team. But Vancouver not going away. I mean, they're hanging around. It was a fun game. Have you been surprised of just how much they have hung around? You go back to the St. Louis series and this series against Vegas.
I'm not, because every time that the Preds play them this year, and we'll tell you too, they've been some just unbelievable games. It's just a hardworking team. I just really have a lot of praise for the job that Travis Green has done, with how quickly he's got his young core of players to buy in. And because that was a transition this team's gone through over the last 5 years and 3 years especially, and you have Pettersson coming in, and you got Bo Horvat, who's an up and coming leader, who I think, you know, early in his career wanted to be a top, you know, 1A centerman, but he's more of a 2, and he's a kind of a heart and soul type of player. He's one of those power forward guys. And, you get Quinn Hughes in the mix, and just to see him live, you hear a lot about him, but to actually see him live and the things that he can do. You have the emergence of Markstrom, who's really the last couple of years come into his own and established himself as one of the top guys in the league. And when you have that, you got a chance to win every night. So I'm not surprised, because they're just a scrappy, hard-working team, and I feel the job that Travis Green has done over the last 2 years, especially with this group, has been remarkable. And that's kind of what I saw every time we played them. I'm like, geez, this team just won't go away, or they're just a nightmare to play against, or, you know, Markstrom standing on his head when the Preds are out playing them, and they have no business being in the hockey game. So they feel like they have all the elements to be that team. So it doesn't surprise me, but I don't know if they're going to get by. I don't think they'll get by them, like you said. I just think Vegas is too good. But, I've been really impressed by Vancouver. And that's a team, you know, you look ahead to next year. This is a team that's going to be, you know, they're going to be up there. There's going to be some, they've got some players, and they got a bright future, depending on if they can get Markstrom. I think he's up. They can get him locked up.
Yep, no doubt about it. We will see who wins between Colorado and Dallas tonight. It should be interesting. See, Mace, thanks for the visit, as always, and enjoy the rest of your day.
Okay, thank you, guys. Talk to you soon.
Thank you. That is Chris Mason. Every Wednesday, at 1 o'clock on the program as the German Shepherds are overtaking the room and getting wrapped up in my wires. Go away. Shoo. I don't know why you guys are in here. We'll come back. We need to figure out the other half of the bet. We'll do that on the other side. Darren, Donick, and Chase, ESPN 102.5 The Game. Yep. Good conversation with Chris Mason on our phone line, driven by Wilson County Hyundai.com. All right. Do we have – so you've got the handlebar mustache at stake for Colorado-Dallas tonight. That's the lone game in the National Hockey League. Of course, that will be played up in Edmonton. That's going to have a 7 o'clock start tonight on NBCSN. So that's NBC Sports Network. What about on my side of things?
Well, we want some suggestions. 615-737-1025. You can text us some suggestions and some that have come in so far. Ben says the next time that Darren is driving an argument into the ground, Chase can use a safe word to automatically win the argument.
Okay.
Ron says, and I don't know if this one was directed at me or Darren, but just cut the mustache. Now, we've established, and I don't know how you feel about facial hair, but you're not touching the hair on your head. But I don't know if he meant me, like, yeah, just cut the mustache out of the beard or what that was.
Don't know.
Let's see. Joe had a couple. Joe says, make Darren wear a Braves jersey for the entire fantasy draft. Okay, that's easy. Or, and Willie, I want to know your thoughts on this one. Or, Darren has to accept a trade in the draft no matter how bad it is.
That's a tough penalty right there.
That is a tough one because that, I mean, that affects a lot of things. And the league would be up in arms.
I don't think that is going to create a lot of chaos. And I'm not willing to do that. Like, I don't feel that good about Dell. I mean, come on. I'm not willing to tank my fantasy season for this game tonight. I mean, I have no interest.
You're not that,
in that
big of a fan of the Dallas Stars.
Yeah, because notice I'm not quick to offer the same thing. So
yeah, no, I don't. I definitely don't want that much riding on this game tonight.
Yeah. Yeah, because, I mean, basically what would happen is Willie and I would be trading for your first pick. That's probably
I mean, in theory, we could set up a pretty lopsided trade.
Yes, that would be very easy to do. So I'm gonna say that's been 86'd. So that one's out.
So is there anything you would be willing to consider there?
I think we can do better. I think it's a good start.
So let's try to utilize our text
Braves,
line here.
The Braves jersey. It's like, you know,
that's
easy. We're at a fantasy football draft. I don't really know.
I thought of something like that. That's an easy one that can be done. That's reasonable, right?
Yeah.
And that's not a big price to pay.
No, that's not anything horrible. No.
So 615-737-1025 on our text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Weigh in. What should Darren have to do if the Colorado Avalanche win tonight, which is my guarantee that they will, and force a game 7?
You have guaranteed that.
I have guaranteed that.
Yeah, I don't know. Let's just keep thinking. By the way, there's been some more news while we keep thinking about that and get some suggestions.
Real quick, Barrett says, so Darren has to sing along while Chase plays a song on the guitar.
Oh, nobody wants that. Nobody wants that.
Nobody
that
wins
at the draft?
Nobody wins. No, I think he means on air.
Oh, that's even better.
I was kind of thinking the same thing.
Is that better? Is that good for the show? I mean, Chase has already made people angry by playing the guitar, and then me singing, that is just going to drive... It's going to just drive people away for that segment. I just don't feel like that helps us. I don't think.
Yeah, we don't.
Unless it's just the train wreck you can't turn away from.
Yeah, I maybe it will put it in the maybe pile.
Okay. consideration pile.
Yes. It has been taken under advisement.
Or maybe have Darren play the guitar for the trivia lifeline.
See, nobody wants that either.
Well, yeah, right. That's not a lifeline. That's death. It's not a lifeline.
Well, it's got to be a long shot. I mean, if you're playing for your way back into the contest, I mean, it's a Hail Mary either way.
If you cannot play, then that doesn't help anybody. That's not a lifeline.
You'd have 24 hours to learn.
All right. I have just gotten the okay for this. Whichever suggestion that we use will win a Predators autograph puck. So we'll add an incentive there.
Okay. So we have to use one?
Well, I mean, if we use one, let's put it that way. If we use one, you win a Predators autograph puck. And Barrett says, be a believer.
Be a believer, yeah. I am a believer. I'm just not a believer in my singing.
Jeff from Minnesota wants you to wear a Twins jersey for a day and tweet it, which you're an Indians fan, so.
Yeah, that is punishment.
Yeah.
That is punishment. Somebody has said, Darren has to take a shot of Galliano on the air. No, that's not it.
Oh, no.
I'll throw up.
Spend 24 hours in a Waffle House, and every waffle you eat takes an hour off your time.
I am not spending 24 hours in Waffle House. That is not happening.
That's funny. Yeah, keep them coming. 615-737-1025.
There has been a second outbreak. But we had Derek Mason on the show yesterday. It looks like more bad news on that front concerning another outbreak concerning the football team.
Yeah, more positive tests, including some with the women's soccer team as well. So that has shut things down over on McGugan. So that's tough. That's tough. I know we just talked to Coach Mason yesterday about all the hard work they're trying to do. They felt like they had a handle on it, and then to have it happen a second time, that is concerning. That
he was on the morning show earlier and talked about that too.
Yeah. And suddenly the first thing that happened was they postponed their media session, and that had everybody scurrying over there. And so kudos to the Hustler, the student newspaper over on the Vanderbilt campus. They figured it out right away. More positive tests. Mm. So these are positive cases, and, you know, once again, sort of as it relates to Kirk Cousins, you know, what does a positive test mean? Hopefully everybody's okay. These are, for the most part, low risk. We get into the whole discussion. You know, the Big Ten seems to be fixating in on the issue of the heart-related condition, which I can't remember the name of, but there's enough cases where that seemed to be a big thing that weighed in on their decision. But it's, you know, it's day by day. It's so interesting. We talk to all these different people who are on, you know, with teams that are playing about the challenges, and, you know, most people make it through. But it's like baseball. The A's, Tony Kemp and the A's, they're out for the whole weekend.
Yep.
They have to make up all the games, but it's going to be a few more days before they play again. So how do we get through this football season without? It seems inevitable that there will be games that have to be rescheduled or canceled.
Well, I saw a tweet from Brett McMurphy, who does a really good job covering.
Yeah, and that now we swing back over here. Yeah,
and Penn State has conducted 222 COVID tests of athletes from August 24th through the 28th, and they had one positive result. One.
Right.
222 tests.
And in another couple weeks, they could have the same amount, and they could have one again. They could have zero, but they could also have a 19. Situation where they have to take a step back. It's a constant, every day is a challenge.
And it depends, you know, I think, too, you have to weigh, because the initial tweet called it a wave, and then they followed up and said it's a small number. That's what the university has said. And so you have to, you obviously
this is
have
Vanderbilt.
To. Yeah, you are.
Yeah,
you
it's an outbreak. Maybe is probably not the right word. They had some cases.
Sure.
Right, and so they've enough to put the stop sign up.
But I mean, you have to differentiate between, okay, what's going to shut us down for the long term? What's going to make us take a couple days off? You know, vice versa. How much control do we have? And that's what they're learning. And some, you know, we've seen it with, you know, other sports since all this started. Some are doing better than others. But this is what, you know, back to our argument earlier about, okay, what's the Big Ten doing? Well, the SEC, they've made the commitment that they're going to try and play. They know the risk, but they also know that this is a part of it, that they're going to have to know how to navigate this part. Okay, if a team, either they, you know, a wave breaks out or they have a small number. And honestly, it's one of those trial and error things that you can only, you have to be in the situation to really know how to handle it.
Or like, opt-outs. There's been opt-outs,
yeah.
At LSU impacting that team. USF, Central Florida's had a bunch of opt-outs. That too.
Yeah, there's a lot of things to consider. There are opt-outs. Another thing that I think about too is it's messing with your practice schedule. So even if you can control the cases, and maybe you have a few, but you do the best job you can to keep it from spreading throughout the team when you have a major problem. But if it's affecting your ability to practice, right? Vanderbilt can't practice. This is the second time. I think I'm not trying to make a joke with this, but they need to practice, right? They have a new offensive coordinator. They're trying to find a quarterback. How in the world are they going to prepare for a season with less practices than you would, where they're already major underdogs with everything they're trying to do? It looks
a bear of a schedule.
And everybody could be affected in some way with that, right? When you can't prepare. Like, think about how many coaches we know that are absolute sticklers to detail on every minute of every practice. It's got to be driving them crazy not to be able to practice every day at the time. Some people have their practice schedules, and I played for one in Coach Eddie Fogler. He had every minute of every practice scheduled for weeks in advance. But you can't do that here. You got to be ready to turn on a dime and reschedule your practice for that day based on what happens.
And I'm concerned when you think about our conversation yesterday with Derek Mason of them right out of the gates against A&M getting penalized for too many men on the field, because I just know with four quarterbacks out there, it's going to mess up. There's going to be too many, you know, they're going to get flagged for that. That's just not going to work. You know, you can't do that. And he told us yesterday, right now he's got four quarterbacks, and he's going to have to narrow it down to one. He's just going to. But wait a minute.
Really? With the dad joke?
Now, what am I thinking about? He did say September 21st, we would know.
Yeah.
That's what he did say.
Well, the other three guys probably might be needed in other areas of the field. You know, whoever's not the quarterback might play defensive back, or, you know, they might be low on numbers here. I mean, this is getting scary. The next layer too is when you don't practice, you don't have the routines. Does that increase the chances of other injuries that are football related?
Yeah, I think
because
you're not quite in
playing shape. You're playing, but you're not quite in the shape that you want to be. So baseball is dealing with that, mm-hmm. right? The number of pitchers that have been injured is very high, and a lot of pitchers have said we didn't have a chance to build up our arms normally. This is way out of routine, and that's why a lot of us are going on the shelf here.
Well, even in the NFL, I've seen reports of, you know, sore hammies or pulled hammies, or, you know, because they didn't have OTAs, they didn't have some of that conditioning that you're used to having, and so it's, you know, I think the injuries are going to vary of, you know, non-severe pulls, things like that, to very severe, you know, a tear or whatever, but I believe that that's a huge concern.
Speaking of pitching, did anybody see the scores in Major League Baseball last night? Were they using juice balls, or were they using outfielders as pitchers? Let's see.
Well, one of the games was at Coors Field, so that explains one of them.
Okay, but that's a softball.
Anybody
want to
read
the 23-5?
Anybody want to read the Colorado Rockies' official Twitter handle after the game last night? Read that one, Chase.
We typically have positive and encouraging words when tweeting the final score after losses or some kind of clever approach. Not tonight. We lost 23-5. It sucked. Good night. I love that. Well done.
Oh, 23-5.
That is blinking fertilizer, as Vin Scully said. I mean,
San Francisco.
That is blinking fertilizer.
The only inning they did not record a run was the ninth. I think at that point they're like, all right, I think this is enough. They scored 23 runs in the first eight innings.
Alex Dickerson had a chance to hit four home runs in a game, which is would tie the record. He went 5 for 6 with 3 homers and 5 extra base hits. He hit one off the wall. That would have been the fourth home run.
Marcelo Zuna.
He did have three last night. Three homers last night for him. So the Braves put up 10. The Orioles put up 9. The Tigers beat the Brewers 12-1. The Indians beat the Royals 10-1.
Sonny Gray got pounded last night, which is he had had a streak of, I want to say something like 34 or 35 straight starts. Every start he'd had with the Reds, he had never given up more than 6 hits in a game, which is amazing, and I think never more than 4 earned runs. But that went out the window early last
night. Well, he didn't get out of the first.
No, the
Reds suck.
The roof caved in on him.
I mean, the Reds are just not good.
16-2 they lost to the Cardinals. 16-2. It was 6-0 after one. Yeah, what did he record? 2 outs, I think?
My team, my National League fantasy baseball team, guys, had Josh Lindblom, the starter for the Brewers. What was the final score of that game? 12-2. I had Sonny starting for the Reds. That didn't go well. And I had John Gray starting for the Rockies. Final score 23-5. My team ERA took a hit. Let's just say
Brewers
it took a hit.
Lost 12-1.
Yeah, 12-1. Okay.
Didn't even get two.
Yeah. Ouch.
I think John Gray was the starter for Willie when we saw the Rockies and the Cubs play.
I think John Gray was one of the starters for when I went to 2 games last year.
Really?
Yeah. Yep.
I have seen John Gray in multiple major league parks myself. Not that anybody really cares.
Well, last night, that was probably not his performance. No.
It was not his night.
It's a performance he will delete probably immediately. I couldn't believe when I saw that. I was like, that can't be right.
But at Coors Field, that can happen. I mean, we're not
23 runs.
Yeah. Coors Field? We've seen some pretty crazy games at Coors.
They were paper cuts, too. I mean, it's not like they were scoring, you know, they got 8 in 1 inning, they got 6 in another.
Right.
They're just like paper cuts, like 2 runs, 3 runs, 2 runs, a run, 2 runs.
You're saying it was a balanced attack.
Well, they just kept scoring every inning. It just wasn't – they had 1 inning of 7 runs, but overall it was just like 2 and 3 runs an inning.
Did you guys see this? Speaking of the Giants, Mike Yastrzemski, who was in the minor leagues up until a couple of months into the season last year, he right now, I was looking at Buster Olney, the stat war, you know, wins above replacement, he's third in the league. Mookie Betts, I think, is second. Mike Yastrzemski is a legit MVP.
He's been awesome.
Candidate. He's turned into an incredible player.
He's batting leadoff for San Francisco.
Oh yeah, he's got a .405 on base percentage and a .581 slugging percentage. 4 triples, leading the league. He's turned into a phenomenal player. And the Orioles basically just gave him away.
Well, that's why the Orioles are what they've been for several years now.
Yep.
Big pile of poo.
And the Orioles had him in their system for years, for like 6 years. They never gave him a shot.
I guess they need to work on their development, don't you think?
Exactly. Or their evaluation of talent. Holy cow.
Because ever since he's landed in San Francisco, he's been really good.
He's been outstanding.
All right, we will come back and put a bow on Wednesday's show next. JC Swafford, 66 on Twitter, says, since we're dealing with the Avalanche, the loser dresses as you UConn Cornelius.
Okay. That's a good one.
I couldn't get that out without laughing. Well, I think you're the best. I don't think I would
look, with the beard, yeah.
Look like UConn Cornelius, but some of the beards you've been putting out, you could pull that off. So I guess maybe that would be a better one for you.
It could be.
I'd be okay with that.
That'd be pretty funny.
I think that would be really funny.
At Coach Den TN says, Darren gets rookie hazed for 24 hours, meaning carry bags, etc. If we were all together,
I was going to say, yeah, that's actually work. A good one. Make me go get lunch, right?
Yeah, you have to be.
Clean up after everybody.
Yeah, you have to do that stuff. Like if
I actually like that.
If we're on remote, you have to carry everything.
Yeah, that would be good.
Gotta go get drinks.
Yep.
Yeah.
Yeah. Nate says on our text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, Nate says, Darren should have to do a Jaeger shot with me. Chase, this time I'm not kidding. I will buy.
No. That's a no. Like, no. Jaeger, no. Galliano, Jaeger, no.
This one,
That's a no.
I think we have our winner here. If Chase wins, Darren has to buy Chase a new guitar. There you go.
Yes. No, that's a horrible. Okay, fine. You didn't say what type. Okay, Fisher Price.
There you go.
Fisher Price, Toys R Us.
I did not specify. Let's see. Another one that didn't identify themselves. Darren has to go the whole show saying, I'm only here so I don't get fined. Can't say anything else.
Oh, that would get really annoying. But it would be funny.
Yeah, it'd be funny for like 10 minutes.
Yeah, that would get really annoying.
James
says, for everybody.
James says, pick a famous wrestler's outfit and he has to wear it to the draft.
Oh, my gosh.
Ooh.
I don't even how do you get that?
Yeah,
like,
you'd have to get creative. You'd have to get creative. But your wife makes T-shirts, so.
Do you think she would want to contribute to me being in a wrestling outfit in our house in front of everybody?
I don't know. That would be hilarious.
There would be
Hulk
people
Hogan.
Running out of here.
I can just picture you with the Hulk Hogan skullet.
How do you get one of those outfits? You got a lot of wrestling buddies.
I have a lot of wrestling T-shirts that you know you could use, obviously. But I mean, there's more that goes into it than just the T-shirt. That's a good one, though.
It is a good one.
We've had some funny ones.
There's
here.
Some really good creativity. I just don't know if we could pull some of these off. Like the one, honestly, the best one is if we were together. That would be a really good suggestion. Like, I'd be willing to do that, and you guys would make me pay big time. You would have me doing every commercial break. You would have me doing something.
That may have to be it, and we just wait until we're all together and then execute it. That might have to be it. That to me is a leader in the clubhouse.
Now, there is a chance that we are all together on September 14th, right?
Potentially. That's true. Yep, you're right.
Potentially.
I would say there's a really good shot of that. So, it could be sooner rather than later. It could be on the 14th at a golf course.
All right, so we're going to file that away.
Okay.
Darren, right, you'll be glad to know that the Rockies play the Giants again right as we get off the air. So, if you want to see if the madness happens again at Coors Field, you can see if the – imagine having to play a day game the night after you get beat 23-5. Probably actually like that.
So they've got another softball game scheduled?
Maybe, perhaps.
A day softball game?
Let's see if they adjusted the humidor and put the balls in there, you know, with the cigars to try to keep the ball in the park.
I think Mike wants to weigh in on Sonny Gray. What's up?
Well, it was definitely not a good day to be a Gray pitching, but as bad as Sonny was, he only gave up 5 hits. So I guess he's still got that streak.
Yes, I guess he does.
And that's like the threat of all time in history, right? With 40 games, not giving up 6 hits as a starter.
I think I saw that.
It's got to be a record, right? You would think.
I'll see if I can dig it up real quick.
He just did not have it last night. Y'all have a good day.
All right, you too. Yeah, the Reds have just not been very good.
They haven't been very good, but eight teams in the National League have to make it to the postseason. I stress have to, because there's going to be a couple of teams that are not very good that make it. So the Reds still have a very legit shot of making it to the playoffs if they have a good final month.
Well, but the problem that they have is they can't score runs.
And they should be able to.
I mean, they're like basically two runs or less every game.
Yeah, they're not hitting very well.
A lot of shutouts, by the way. That's never good.
Like, what's Elijah Joey Votto? Is he still under 200?
I hope not.
I mean,
Christian Yelich is still under 200 at last check. We predicted this. Everybody was saying it, and it's been right. There's been some people that just are in a slump. Like, and it wouldn't be any cause for huge alarm if it were May 1st.
240.
Ooh.
Yeah.
Ooh. Joey Votto, 240.
Ooh. On the Sonny Gray thing, it is a Major League Baseball record that he has for most consecutive starts without allowing six or more hits.
Eugenio Suarez, 190.
Yeah.
Mike Moustakas, 221. I mean, those are guys.
But
let's
look at the bright side here. If you're the Reds, this is, you know, this is not Ryan Porth speaking, but this is a baseball fan speaking. If you could sneak in and you're the eighth seed, anybody want to face a team that has Sonny Gray and Trevor Bauer going in games one and two of a short series? I mean, they'd have a chance.
Everybody would have a chance, yeah.
I don't think the Reds
would fear anybody, no.
Sonny Gray and Trevor Bauer could each pitch a dominant game to start a series.
Look, it's the same
argument.
They're
a lot better than the 1-2 of a lot of other teams that are going to make it.
It's the same argument as Carey Price versus Pittsburgh.
No question about it. There's going to be one of those in baseball.
If indeed we are out on the 14th, I would say there's our winner. If we can get confirmation that that's going to be the case, I'm willing to do it. Just as long as you guys will let me take a bathroom break.
Yes.
At some point.
We will.
Okay. Then that's our winner if that happens. Okay. We'll see how it plays out. And I may switch you to UConn Cornelius if you lose tonight. Just because I would like to
see
that.
I'm fine with that. That'd be funny.
All right. That'll do it for today's show. You have a great rest of your day. Be safe out there. We want you back with us tomorrow morning at 10 a.m. We'll see you then.
Hey, it's Bubba Wallace from 2311 Racing. You know what feels like forever? Sitting on a plane waiting for takeoff. Good thing I've got Chumba Casino. With daily boosts and social casino games on tap, this is the kind of fun that makes time fly. Why not turbocharge your downtime? Play now at ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
Sponsored by Chumba Casino. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.